And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
James raised the question in James 4:14, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. I want us to look at life and I want us to ask the question about our life. What is your life? One important part of any successful life are the dreams, the aspirations, and the goals. Look at people through history. You'll find that those who have succeeded, those who have made their mark upon our world, have been men that had goals, aspirations, and ideals. They've been those that had a dream. We remember, not too many years ago, one man who used as a theme, I have a dream. We may not agree with everything about that man. We may not agree with lots of things about a lot of people. But I think all of us can realize that achievements are realized by people who have dreams and those who put hands and feet upon those dreams. I want to think with you today about a person who was a dreamer, and yet the Lord used this dreamer in such a marvelous way. In Genesis 37:5, Joseph dreamed a dream. In verse 8, because his brothers saw that their father loved him, that is, Joseph, more than them, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. They hated Joseph for his dreams. Genesis 37:19. On an occasion when Joseph came to see his brothers, they said, behold, this dreamer comes. You can see in this one chapter, Genesis 37, that over and over again it talks about a young man. It talks about a boy with a dream. This dreamer. Life consists of dreams. Well, I don't mean those things that happen in our minds while we sleep. But I'm talking about aspirations, goals. Those things that we're seeking after. That's the dream that we're concerned about. Life consists of dreams. I wonder what your dreams are today. I wonder what your goals are in life. Personally. Individually. I wonder what your dreams are for this community. And I wonder specifically what our dreams are for this church. I say to you that life consists of dreams. And whenever we cease dreaming, whenever we cease having goals and aspirations, we cease to be the kind of person God wants us to be. God told us in His Word about this man Joseph, who was a dreamer. And He tells us how He used this man. How God came into his life and how God influenced and how God blessed that life. And what Joseph accomplished. I believe He does so in order to tell us that He's willing to take each one of us if we will let Him rule and reign and regulate and control our life. And that He will make something great and useful and beneficial out of that life that otherwise would be ineffective and mundane. Genesis 41, verses 38 and 39. Joseph said unto his servants, "Can there be such a man as this, in whom the Spirit of God is? God showed you this. There is none so discreet and so wise." Now that's really the final result of what came from a young man who dreamed a dream. And then finally the Pharaoh recognizing him and saying, "Can we find such a man as this in whom the Spirit of God is so discreet and so wise?" There's the exalted position. There's really the climax, the mountain peak of that great life. Life consists of dreams. Now we're not talking about castles in the sand. We don't mean some kind of emptiness that wishes, never does anything but wish. Let's look at this one dreamer though and see what God accomplished with him and what it means to us. First of all, I suggest to you that there are always those who will try to destroy the dream. I don't care what you want to accomplish, what you want to succeed. There are always those who will try to destroy that dream, that goal you have. Jesus said it in Matthew 10:36, that a man's foes shall be they of his own house. Our Lord said sometimes the biggest battlefield we face may be in our own family, among our own house. Now that's not always the case. Sometimes families are the most supportive. And thanks be to God for families like that. You may have had the heritage of a family that supported you in anything and everything that's right. And if you did, what a great blessing. But that's not always the case. Some people will go to heaven in spite of their families, not because of them, but in spite of them. That's what our Lord was saying, that sometimes a man's foes, enemies, shall be they of his own house. And I believe some of the greatest people in all of our world have been those who face calamities in life. Those to whom life seemed to hand a lemon, but they made something out of it. The founder of the great Sears Company had a saying, and it was this, that if life hands you a lemon, at least you can make some lemonade. That kind of philosophy came from a man who started what is now the largest retailer in our land. That kind of philosophy, there was not some kind of quiditis over some of the adversities and some of the difficulties that came. And so there are always those who will try to destroy the dream. Whatever you want to do that's good and right and beneficial and helpful, there are always those who will try to destroy that dream. It may be those among your own family. Some wives will go to heaven in spite of the husband, and vice versa. And then some will go to heaven because of a good husband or a good companion of a good mate. Joseph had the difficulty of his own family, of his own brothers. We've already mentioned to you in Genesis 37 verse 8 that his brothers hated him for his dreams. And I can say to you, whenever you follow something that's noble and something that's great, there will be those who will despise you because of that dream. Some live in the valleys and are never interested in the peaks. Some people become self-satisfied in the trivial of life. Look what Joseph's brothers did to him. We've mentioned already that they hated him. It would seem in a family that family members should always be supportive and helpful. And yet they're not. Read a few days ago of the Heisman Trophy winner, Doug Flutie of Boston College. And in an account of his life, it said that members of his family always supported him. Even while he was playing sandlot ball, and even in grade school and high school, they were always there at every game. There were no newspaper headlines then. They didn't know that he'd ever be a Heisman Trophy winner. But the family came to all the games and they supported him all of that time. And he said, now, it seems like when he's in the limelight, there's some people that want to jump on the wagon. You know, there's some folks who want to wait till success is achieved. They want to try to claim credit part of it. And then there's some folks that are supportive all along the way. Now, Joseph's family was not supportive of him. His father was. But his brothers hated him. And look what his brothers did. They sold him into slavery. Genesis 39 verse 1. He was bought from the Ishmaelites by Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard. Verse 2 says, but God was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper. In verse 6 of Genesis 39, it was said concerning Potiphar that he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. This teenage boy, Joseph, envied and hated by his brothers, a boy with a dream, finds them trying to burst that bubble and to destroy that dream, and they sell him as a slave. The Ishmaelites to whom they sold him then sells him to Potiphar, the captain of the Pharaoh's guard. But all of that time, God was with him and made him prosper in everything that he did. He was so in control of Potiphar's house that Potiphar didn't even know what he had except the bread that he ate. Things were going fine for Joseph. They started at a bad point, but they'd come to a great point. And then Potiphar's wife, as you remember the story, she became interested in Joseph, and because he rejected her advances, he said in verse 9, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? When he refused her advances, she made a false charge against him. and the goodness that he had done came to a dungeon, Genesis 39:20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Think about this young boy, Joseph, sold as a slave, and then when everything seems to be getting in place, getting in order, in Potiphar's house, this false charge, this lie told against him, and he's placed in a prison. But the Lord was with him there in that prison and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The lowest ebb seemingly of his fortunes, flung down from a great height due to the wickedness of one woman. There are always those who would do things to try to cause us to miss the rungs in the ladder of life. It's not always easy to climb the ladder as God wants us to. And there are always those things and people who would try to mislead us. Joseph seemed that he was wrecked because of his goodness. Don't you imagine flooding through his mind must have been, you've done the good thing, the right thing, and look what your brothers have done. And then look what a wicked woman has done. What's the use? What does it really matter? What's the use in trying to be good when it's a lot easier to be bad? Could have been Joseph's philosophy or attitude, but it wasn't. He was faithful all the time. Faithful in Potiphar's house. Faithful when he was placed in prison, in that dungeon. Faithful and true to God because he had a dream. And that dream wasn't going to die because he was sold as a slave. That dream wasn't going to die because he was placed in prison. Because that dreamer wanted the fulfillment of his dream. He wanted it more than he wanted anything in all of life. And all of these points were just tests made to see what metal constituted the life of Joseph. The psalmist says in Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Those who fear the Lord know and realize His purposes. In Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, and now I keep Thy statutes. Before I was afflicted, before trouble or difficulty came, I went astray. And then in verse 71, he said, it's good that I've been afflicted, that I might know your statutes. Sometimes the hard knocks of life don't destroy the dream, and don't destroy the dreamer, but just causes a greater determination to fulfill that goal. God richly blessed this dreamer. At age 17, Joseph was a slave. At 30, he was prime minister of Egypt. Psalm 105, verse 19 says, the word of the Lord has tested me. The word of God does test all of us to see of what we're made. But individuals like diamonds are just polished by the grinding. The things of life will either polish us up or wear us down. And if we're a diamond, will only gleam brighter and greater. But gravel is worn down. The things of life show whether or not we're diamonds or whether we're just gravel. And so it did in the case of Joseph. After he served the Lord, Genesis 39:21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Brought him out of that prison, out of that dungeon. Time doesn't permit us to notice all of the events, but the Lord blessed him. Finally, Pharaoh says, as we've mentioned earlier, in Genesis 41:38-39, there's not a man like this in whom the Spirit of God is so discreet and so wise. And then in verses 42 and 43 of Genesis 41, Pharaoh took off his ring from off of his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. Arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. Put a gold chain about his neck. The ring was the emblem of authority, and the chain was a mark of dignity. And he said, "You're going to be over all of the land, over all of my people. Only in my house or in the throne will I be superior to you." That's the position Joseph reached, prime minister of the land of Egypt. God blessed him because he didn't give up the hard knocks of life. In fact, all of these 13 years of trial were necessary. All of this was part of God's chain in bringing or leading Joseph where he wanted him to be. His brothers who hated him. Potiphar's wife who lied against him. The dungeon in which he spent time. But all of this was needful in bringing Joseph to where God wanted him to be. A great and a marvelous man of God. Now when we have dreams, there will be those who will try to destroy them. I don't know who they are for you, but you can be sure that somebody along the way will try to burst that bubble and destroy that dream. But if we're true to God, He'll bless us. I ask you, what are your dreams? We need to be obsessed with them. We need to be like the little girl in the comic strip. One night, she said to her mother, "Do the crickets only know one tune?" We need to be obsessed with our dreams. Never relinquish them, never give them up. But believe in them and believe in God who can make them possible. What are your dreams, your goals, your aspirations today? I wish that each one of you would think about your life individually in that respect. And I wish you'd think about your aspirations or dreams of this church. And then each one of us decide whether or not we're willing to pay the price for the realization of those dreams. There'll be a lot of things that'll try us. They'll try to disappoint us, try to delay us. May make us wonder whether or not it's really worthwhile. Joseph could have said, "I've tried, and what does it matter? Doing good leads to being sold as a slave, or doing good leads to being put in a prison." He could have taken that attitude, and if he had, I'm sure the Word of God would not have told us about him, or at least virtually nothing about him. He wasn't told us about a man who was a dreamer and a man that God crowned with success because he followed those dreams, those goals. He would have been an unknown, a nobody in the annals of history. But he succeeded because of that dream. And I'm challenging, I'm asking you today, have goals and aspirations and dreams. Be obsessed with them. The standpoint that they so captivate your life that someone may say of you, as that little girl did to her mother about the crickets, do they only know one tune? Seeking first God's will and God's purposes, and He'll bring about success. No, He won't make us Prime Minister of Egypt. But I tell you, He'll bless us and own us and crown us and receive us, and we'll be blessed far beyond our greatest expectation if we follow that dream in accord with God's teaching. If you're not a Christian today, you need to become one. If you wandered away from the Lord, you need to come back home.